On this week's episode, I tell Jackson that I climbed a bunch of stairs, and Jackson has finally convinced me to play one of his favorite video games. Woo! Then we decide to recast Shaun of the Dead using video game characters. More on that soon, because this is It's Dangerous to Go Alone.
A plus. No notes. No notes.
Great.
It's dangerous. Oh, to go alone.
What's up, Barely Gamers, and welcome back to your favorite podcast featuring two internet cuties, a whole lot of friendship, and some video games.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Jackson.
And it's dangerous to go alone. So, hey, listen to us talk about video games, movies, movie video games, video games that we're going to replace with movies.
The other way around, I would think.
Movies, we're casting video.
Very good. Very good. And a shout out to our Patreon producers, Kyle B. Back, BT Dubs, and of course, John, a.k.a. The Bull. Look what you've done. More on how you can be cool like them at the end of the show. Juice, how you doing? Happy whatever day today is. What's new? What's exciting? What's the haps?
Happy Wednesday. And I'm having a good week so far. I climbed the CN Tower this weekend.
That's right.
Yes,
you had a big weekend.
I did.
Well, you had Saturday. You had a drag brunch. And
Saturday I had a drag brunch.
Sunday,
yes, I did.
You climbed the CN Tower, and I'll be honest. I was streaming Saturday, and multiple people came in, and they were like, "I was at the drag brunch that you performed in today," and I was like, "I didn't know that Juice had a drag brunch, and I think I might be a bad friend." And then we exchanged messages that day, and then you were like, "Also, I climbed the CN Tower today." And I went, "Whoa, I'm out of the loop. That's on me. That's on me."
I don't
talk every week. I don't ask enough questions. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't ask you, like, when's your next stream? Like, it's my work.
Right. But I think we always have a slight disconnect on your work, because in your eyes, you're like, well, it's not like I'm going to come with you to the office, but your work isn't that. Your work is a live performance. Like when I was in Disney on Ice, you came to the show. Like, that's not just like, okay, so when do you have shows? It's like, oh, that's cool. When are the shows? Like, it's a different vibe.
I mean, I guess, but like, I like to think about it like, because especially like my close friends, like, they always have this like guilt that they can't come to my shows. And it's just like, yeah, but it's like, I know you love me and I know you support me. You don't need to come to my shows. You don't need to celebrate my shows, because this is just me working, you know? And it's, and honestly, sometimes I have shows where I'm like, don't come. This is going to be bad. You know, this is not a good one. So I, cause I just kind of have to do things. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and do some, you know, shows just to do them.
Which ones? By name?
By
first,
name,
first and last of the creators, if you want.
By name, by date, and can you just like let us know which one those are? So that's my thing with it, and it's like it is at the end of the day just my job for me. So that's why I like to, because if I feel like if I were to make such a big deal, like, oh no, I need you to come to one of my shows, I need you to see me, I feel like that would speak to my ego more than it would speak to you supporting me as a friend.
Sure.
Yeah. But thank you.
I think there's an in between.
I think there's a
where like there isn't an expectation that I know everything, but also like an acknowledgement that what you do is cool. And it's like there's a natural curiosity.
I agree. I also feel like pressure when I have like friends at my shows.
Oh, did I make you stressed when you performed in Vancouver and I came to your show?
No, but I feel like I need to like make sure I'm like, you know, at my best.
I mean, to be fair, maybe that's the reason, but I've always left your shows, and like usually I say it right to you that like, shit, you're real good at this.
Thank you. It is because if I have a friend there, of like someone, I kind of really turn it up, because it's just like, this is a pal. Like they,
so you know, if anyone out there is about to go see a Juice show, make sure a friend of Juice is also attending. And you'll get the tippity-toppity, the best of the best type of performance. Is that what I'm learning?
A friend who doesn't see my show often. Yeah, that's when a friend who's there every time, I'm going up to them like, you're getting bare minimum today, friend, you know?
Yeah.
You're getting the two-step and the one hair flick, you know, this one.
I will say, though, that like I've seen enough of your performances, and I've been treated to the whole gamut. You know what I mean? I think on the first one, you almost took a light down. We were at that drag brunch that was I don't think they were ready. I don't think they knew what they were getting into. I think that was like a first time venue. I don't think they did a drag brunch before or after that one.
I don't think they did one after. No. I don't think they did one after.
You also went outside in like the fall, not in hot weather, and poured jugs of water all over yourself. We've had moments where you've tried to dance on me and I say things that immediately throw you off your game.
Yeah, you have done that.
I've seen you stumble off the stage a couple of times. And all of that to be said, I've also, after every single one, been like, I think you're getting better at this every fucking time. When you came to Vancouver and we talked about when I surprised you by having watched your episode. I think the first thing I said to you was, if I may be so bold, I feel like you are better. Like what I have seen from you live in person was infinitely better than what you did on the show. Right.
I mean, I appreciate that, but I feel the opposite. Ass. I feel like I've gotten not worse at drag, but I feel like my dancing capabilities have gone down since I was dancing every night.
Sure.
I just feel like I see some videos and I'm just like, man, I used to fucking really rip it. But I was also younger. I had a different body back then. You know, this was like 7 years ago now.
Should we pick a dance class together?
Oh my God.
You excited for me to just stand on the sidelines like a kid in a middle school dance? You don't want to do a little to leave?
No, we're doing ballroom dance, baby.
Okay, that's fine. I'm into that. I could waltz. I've learned waltzes.
The chest.
Here's
open.
What we do.
We get on Dancing with the Stars.
Sure, let's put that on the, we'll put that in the maybe pile, but in the yes pile, I'll go with you to a ballroom dance class. You come with me to learn how to ballroom dance on ice.
This feels loaded.
Why?
Wait, I'm confused.
I'm just saying I'm stepping into territory where you feel more comfortable, and then I would bring you into my territory where I feel more comfortable.
Don't feel comfortable ballroom dancing.
You picked it. I don't know. It was your choice, but
it'd be fun, but it's so much different than what I do. Like, it's almost the exact opposite than what I do. There's so much control.
Yeah. I have friends that that are like hip-hop dancers. Vancouver, when I worked in the restaurants, you work with a lot of performers and dancers and actors and all of those. I mean, those are all kind of the same, but whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of hip hop dancers, we've obviously ballroom. There's so many different styles of dance. Do they do classes for like drag dance? It's like, hi, you would like to learn to dance to perform on the stage? Like, is there a class that people can take?
They take heels classes. There are heels classes, but those are more like sexy girl dances. I've taken some heels classes before, and you have to be quite flexible for them. Also, like the heels that you need to wear, like, they have to be a little bit lower to the ground because if you're wearing like a stiletto, it can be a little bit difficult to dance in them. So there are heels classes. I've seen some girls try like a drag dance class, but like a lot of us are just freestyle dancers.
Yeah.
So you can't really choreograph something.
Sure.
So unless you have like a strong dance background, I would say a heels class is the most successful way to do that. I would say I would never want to go to a class being like, I'm a drag queen and I'm going to teach how to dance and drag. I'd be like, I'm good. Thank you, though.
yeah. Okay. I was just curious. Yeah, thank you for letting me pick your brain.
No worries. Just not my thing. But yeah, so I climbed the CN Tower. Very
excited. You
climbed
the CN Tower. Tell me all about it.
So the CN Tower climb is basically, it's 144 flights, 10 steps on a flight.
Which means how many steps total?
1,440. Period. Added a zero, crushed it.
You also added an extra 4 in there.
No, it's 144.
Oh, it was 144.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I misheard. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. So it's 144 flights. So it's basically the emergency stairs to leave the CN Tower.
Sure.
So it is no windows, no other stops except bottom floor and top floor. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
So no windows. You're just in this cold tube of concrete. And going, doot, 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 doot. So I went with my gym. So I'm just there with a bunch of meatheads, right? And we climb up. I finish in 18 minutes and 57 seconds. And all of my big meathead friends finish it before that, you know, or right around my time. So We got down after 2 hours, mind you, of waiting. It took 2 hours.
You're going up, correct?
You're going up, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And you're not allowed to take the stairs down because everybody's still going up. So you have to wait 2 hours for the singular elevator that will take you down. So, yeah, it was insanely poorly organized. But nevertheless, we get to the bottom. We get our t-shirt and stuff, which they didn't have any smalls. I had to get a medium. I was pissed. But we go.
That's a crop. Crop that shit.
Tea, I will. But we go down and the girl goes, hey, how do you think you did? And I was like, I think I did fine. Because everybody I was with did so fast, right? I was like, I did fine. And she was just like, well, okay, well, let's look at your time. So she looks at it. She goes, okay, just letting you know, this is much more than fine. This is a very good time. You did it extremely quickly. You should be very proud of yourself. And I went, oh, okay, whatever. Because everybody I was with was like 14 minutes, 15 minutes, 16 minutes. So I was just like, I was the slow one.
This is the most clear-cut example of 40% of your psyche, of you comparing yourself to everyone else around you and then finding the most negative possible way to interpret events.
Furious.
This woman who sees pretty much everybody who goes through this event, I imagine, is like, hey, you're in the 99th percentile or 98th percentile. And you're like, yeah, but what about everyone else that's in the 99th? I'm terrible. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Like everybody, somebody told me after, they're like, it takes people like 30 minutes or more to finish this normally. They were like, so you're good, bud. And I was like, yeah. Oh. I was like, okay, fine.
Have you gotten to a place at all where you're like, sick?
Yeah, I feel a lot better now.
Okay,
it was just good. Like in that moment, because I'd never done it before, right? So I had no concept of how long it should take. I had no concept of like what a good time was.
No frame of reference, but then you were handed it. And I went,
stupid.
Nah, that's dumb.
I went, this time sucks. Should have been faster. I took those two breaks, stupid breaks. Why did I take a break? Although, you know what
do? Oh, my God.
So it's hard, right? Like my legs are on fire.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people taking breaks, you know, and they look like they're just beside themselves because there's no way out. There's cutting out early.
You're painting a picture of it and you're doing a great job. And I'm kind of in the boat of like, this is vastly different than what I would have pictured. Like in my head, and it all makes sense. I just didn't picture it right. But like head, it's nice. It's glass walls. It's a good view the whole way up.
Nope.
This is the opposite of glamorous. Like, why do people fucking do this? Like, it's
a grind.
Ugly and shitty and probably smelly for 20 minutes. Like,
it smells like foot. It smells like sweat. I had a lady in front of me, her whole butt right in my face.
So no space to pass.
So she was in the passing lane. So there was I passed her three times where she would, but she would pass me.
Cause you and would
then
take
I
a
would,
break.
Cause I would take a second and then she would pass me and then I'd have to fucking pass her again. So I was like, why are we in the passing lane? Anyways. But her whole butt and her whole feet were in front of me. So I just met her feet and her butt the whole time. But it's like, it's tight, it's cold, it's gray, it's
sad.
Yeah,
it's probably not like, it's not heated, right?
No.
I didn't think about any of this shit.
And
all
it gets colder
sucks.
As you get higher.
Because you're getting closer to the sun and that's where the cold is.
Exactly.
I had someone tell me that. I went on a mountain. Yeah, I was on tour, figure skaters, right? A lot of them homeschooled. I was on tour. We went on like a hike into a mountain. He's like, why is it getting colder as we get higher? Like, we're getting closer to the sun. And I went, oh. Hun, what I actually did was took out my phone and pointed my camera at him. I was like, can you say that again? And got him to repeat himself.
Say that one more time.
You fucking idiot.
I have somewhere to post this. Yeah. But what I was doing, so here is my sneaky, sneaky, sneaky plan that did not work.
Okay.
It did not work, but
also,
this was my...
love that you're strategizing climbing stairs.
Sneaky plan. So what I would do is there was so many people taking breaks, like huge long breaks, like, and they looked just like upset, like they were going to puke, they were heaving, they were covered in sweat. So me being a nice person would stop and say, hey, you okay? Like I would do like a, you good? Like checking it, because like the fitness coach in me needs to make sure that they're okay, you know?
Sure.
So every single person I would ask, one, to make sure they were okay. Two, desperately hoping they said no so I could stop and help them and take a break. Just desperately hoping. And every single one of them went, thank you so much, no thanks. And I'd be like, motherfucker. God damn it.
So it's like, man, fuck. I feel like you're just like, just take a break. I don't understand.
No, I did. I took a break at 100 at the 100 mark. So I went straight until 100. Right at 100, I took a break.
Sure.
What a good spot to take a break. And then I took two more at, I took a quick one at 125. And then I took like a quick hot second. No. Sorry. That's all I did. I did 100 and 125. I took two breaks. That's it. And then I just fucking, you know, I had to finish. I was like, I need to fucking, I need to get out of here.
Not only that, like, you did really well. I don't know. There's just this strange, you ever want to shake your friend? You know?
Where you do.
Just, I don't know. Well, I guess I did shake you a little bit.
You take both of my hands and you put them on my chest and you go.
You do the compression. So you were in the couch, but like it's depending on what surface you're on. Yeah, you get the coming from their lungs every time you do it. It's really funny. I enjoy it a lot. Because it's also pain, like relatively painless. It's just like, whoa. It's a weird feeling. So anyhow, I just feel like you put wild restrictions on yourself, expectations always high, and I don't feel like you take enough moments to acknowledge your victories. And I'm glad that's why I can be a part of it to tell you that you kicked ass and you didn't need to talk yourself out of a big victory that you had there.
Thanks, bro.
No problem.
Fist bump.
Boom. Proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, good. I feel good. I had a nice little weekend and I've just been kind of just putting along since then. How are you?
Cool. I'm doing okay. I had a 4-day weekend last week, which was kind of crazy, and just like tried to relax and I've been dealing with some, like, you know, some mentals. I've been fighting some battles, but like I'm doing okay.
Hey, you got a case of the sads? What do you mean? You haven't told me anything about this.
You were busy climbing stairs.
Why don't you tell me that you had a case of the sads?
Nah, I'm okay overall. Like, all things considered, I'm doing A-okay. I'm not too stressed about it. Yeah, I'm fighting the battles. I'm coming out on top. I'm doing it. I'm doing all right. But I will say I made a terrible life decision. And so far, it hasn't gone bad. So far, it hasn't been a problem. All things considered, it could be much worse. Historically, a bad decision that I have made.
What did you do?
I
went on a date with a redhead.
Oh, I would never make that mistake again. Although I might.
Okay.
I, juice box, the first.
First of her name.
First of her name. I started back into.
No, you didn't.
The World of Warcraft.
I could feel it. I could feel it in my body. What do you mean?
I wrote it down because I was like, I gotta tell Juice now, and I went, no, I can hold off a few days and I'll tell him on the podcast. I've been inside baseball, a little peek behind the curtains for everybody. Juice and I, we talk most days, but sometimes there are topics, so I always have a card next to my where I set up for streams and work, etc., and I just write down notes. I'm like, remember to tell Juice this. So yeah. I put World
they
of Warcraft
also
on my
are,
list.
Ask Juice this. Like yeah. he puts down asking Juice questions too.
Yeah.
So he also has leading questions that he writes down.
Mm-hmm,
So
I put World of Warcraft on there. So here's the thing that happened. I have a friend that works at Blizzard who came to me and said, hey, I have a year-long subscription code. Does anyone want them? He put it into a group chat. And I went, could I get one? Maybe two. And he went, absolutely not. I'll give you one though. And I went,
you were going to ask.
Okay. I did ask to get you one. Because Juice, the social obligation, the contractual exchange that would happen if I said, hi, Juice, I have something valued at almost $200 for you. Play this fucking video game with me.
I would have no choice.
I would have you trapped. So here's what happened. And I'm glad that I made the decision I did. But there was a dilemma in my mind of being like, I only have one code. What if I give Juice the one code anyways and he's trapped? And then I just pay the money out of pocket. I'm totally okay with that. I trap him. I get him stuck. And I went,
trap him in my game.
Yeah. Welcome to my web.
So you decided not to do that.
I decided not to, with a caveat that I'll come back to at the end here. But I did is I activated it on my own account. I dove back into the world of Warcraft.
How do we feel?
I'm feeling good about it, honestly. And there's good and the bad for sure. The good is this day and age, this is the most necessary and fulfilling escapism that one can experience. This okay. is exactly what I need. Running around in a relatively cartoony world where things are kind of silly and kind of serious and they're still fantasy based. And I made a goblin who's a monk who heals people and like just silly, but fun and enjoyable and pretty colors everywhere, right? So in the pro column, perfect escapism, loving it. In the con column, maybe it could be addictive, but I've been pretty good about it
no.
so far. And here's the other thing is I've been playing this drastically differently than how I used to, right? In and out of World of Warcraft over the last 20 years, right? Trying to get in, play. Every time I have a new group of friends to play with, that's always the catalyst for me. So I used to always just go, 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 really give in to just the gamer serotonin, just lighting up every time. I just want to do the next objective. I just want to get my loot. I just want to get my experience. I just want to grow. I don't care about anything else, right? Just go, 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 go. Total like wish fulfillment, right? Make me strong, make me powerful, make me cool. This time around, I'm taking my time. I'm slowing my pace. I'm reading all of the dialogue for all these little quests, all these requests, all this like... The stories are like at a breakneck pace. I'm telling you, so I started a little goblin. Part of my story is going to a pro soccer team. It's a fake sport, but it's essentially soccer. And sabotaging the other team and winning the game for my squad. But then a fucking dragon comes down from the sky and perches across. And then from there, I'm like, oh shit, we should be in trouble. We're in trouble. And then someone's like, no, we'll talk to the billionaire, the trade prince, and he's going to put us on his boat. And he says, only if you bring me $1 billion. So now we're in the mines and we're stealing stuff and we're taking down the trolls. And then also someone pitches, what if you go and take all of his own stuff, he won't even know it, and sell it back to him. And then boom, we do it. And then we get on the boat and we escape the island as the dragon takes over. But then a human comes in and they crush your boat and then you're shipwrecked. Oh shit, welcome to the Lost Isles. And then once you're there, oh my god, there's witchcraft and there's people who abducted your goblins and now they're zombies and they're attacking you. But also there's the orcs and the war chief is there and he needs your help because the humans also sunk his ship. And that was like 2 hours, and that was like 30% of the full trajectory of everything happening there.
Wow.
So normally I would have just done all the shit, checked the check marks, and that was it. But I'm actually reading through everything. It's silly, it's fun, it's light, it's enjoyable. So again, really pleased with it. It hasn't taken over my life. I've put in like an hour maybe here or there. Now what I will say, two more things, maybe three. What I will say is I have come to the very solid conclusion that what I will do is, since I got the year for free, Juice, I will pay for your subscription.
Jackson. So it's just the same, but the opposite. So yeah. No matter what, you're paying out. Oh my God.
And then I was like, whatever, the podcast will pay for it. The podcast will pay for Juice to play.
What?
It's an expense, baby. It's a business expense.
The Patreon producers are like, whoa, 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 whoa.
They're like,
whoa,
we
whoa.
Didn't agree to this. Or are they like, hell yeah, I'm in. I did have this moment where as I was finishing up like my hour here or there, and I just gave you this rundown that I was like, maybe I do, and I've heard of other people doing this, keeping like a gaming journal and talking about all of their own adventures. And for a lot of people, it's like you go back after and you have more puzzles to solve, but it's all here in front of you type of thing. But for others, it's literally just like, I really committed to role playing and I'm writing the chronicles of this character that I embodied, right?
How many hours a week do we have to play to make subscription worth it?
I don't know. However many you want. I'm paying.
For you?
I don't know. Some. Allow me to come back to you with more concrete statistics about how much I want you to play. Now, before I give you that number, what I will say is the longer that I have sat playing it, the longer I went, I really want to play this with Juice. He would complain about every single fucking thing in this game. The more I've played, I've been like, he would hate it, and it might not be in a fun way. Like, I think that you would have to work to find the enjoyment. And I think having a friend there to go with you to do all of the things might be enough, and someone to kind of shepherd you and coach you a little bit. Because even for me, as someone who's played on and off for years, and I haven't played in probably 7 or 8 years, there was a
lot
of things.
Is it turn-based combat?
Nope. it was a lot of things where I was like, you guys didn't even fucking tell me how to do this. I had to figure it out or remember or Google it or whatever. So I feel like for you, kind of removing a layer of that frustration by me just being there and be like, oh, just hit this button, might be really helpful.
Okay.
But I swear to you, the more time I spent in it, I was like, I can just hear him being like, why is it like that? And then I tell you and you're like, well, that's stupid. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's just how it is. And you're like, well, I don't want that. And I'm like, okay, well, we can't change it. And you're like, well, that's dumb. And I'm like, I can already picture those conversations. You and I have had those conversations. I know that they're that way.
I think that might be your insecurities coming out. I don't know if I would complain that much.
No, not constantly. I think it's comedy because I think there was also this realization within myself of being like, okay, this is almost exactly as I remember it, which to me means that game is kind of dated. Like, it's not a modern game. And I know you like to go in and do like a hack and slash style game, and that genre has come really far. But with MMOs, it's very what we've talked about with the newest Pokemon games, where you're managing cooldowns and you're just rotating through different attacks. And it's not like a super tangible feel of I hit the swing button and my character winds up. You hit the button, your attack cues, it does a quick thing. It is a little Pokemon-y in the sense that like you're not actually going to make contact. Your character does a thing and they take damage, right? Like, it's not a super tangible one-to-one there.
I think I would figure it out.
So what I will say, all of this preface, that there is a free account that gets you to level 20. Now, before I activated it, I basically went through that and got maybe 3 hours, maybe a little bit more. And that was...
So we do a 3 hour...
So you could, if you wanted to. I wouldn't force you to. I would also have to inquire about if I can get to like the starting area to actually be there to shepherd you through everything, or if you would have to kind of clear the tutorial before you can join me on it.
We could always just do a Twitch stream where you don't play. It's just you on just my stream coaching.
Yeah. That could be fun. But I mean, just because realistically, if I was there to play with you, I would just kind of be like hovering around you and letting you do stuff. And the way that I would probably do it is you would probably want to be the one hitting stuff, whereas I love to heal. So I would just be like, you go do your thing and I'll stand back here and I'll just keep you alive. Go do whatever you want. So I think that could be really fun.
Sounds fun.
Right? See, that is always 100% of the time for World of Warcraft. That's what it has been for me. In my life, anytime I've gotten into it, it's because I have a group of friends that have gotten into it again.
Okay.
Or I've made new friends and, oh, they play World of Warcraft. Those are the moments. To me, it's always been socially.
Does this also destroy your friendships?
Nope, never.
Okay, great.
It's only purely cooperative. Extremely and the stakes question. Are so low. The stakes are so low because I think with the just massive, expansive nature of the game, where there's so many things you can do and there's so much happening at any given time and so many different ways you can play, like you could sign on and be like, I don't really want to do any quests today. I'm just going to work on my leather working today. I'm going to make fun outfits for people and sell them. Like, you can do that. Like, there's just so much variety that I think the pressure on living is not that high. Like, you can just die, repeat. There's no real stakes. There's not a ton of, like, you're never really losing permanently. You're just like, oh, fuck, I died a couple times. I have to go repair my gear. Like, fuck it. Let's just keep going. It's always been, I think, one of those games where the game is just the excuse to get people in the room. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's so casual and slow, so slow paced that for us to just be like, so like, what are you up to? Like, how's your day been? Like, oh, make sure to kill that thing. Okay, cool. Like, it would be just so much of a platform for us to be able to hang out, I think, for the most part. I think it could be really fun to watch you like create your character, pick your class, learn a little bit about those things. And I think for me, I would have proud Papa moment to watch you like grow and become a stronger, more formidable, character in this world. Yeah. I think it'd be fun.
Well, Jackson, I will play.
We did it, everybody. It only took a 20-minute monologue to get them committed,
where I don't think I said anything for like 5 minutes.
I just got excited. You know what I mean?
That's okay. That's why I said I'll play it, because you're so excited that I will play with you.
I'm pumped. That would be really fun. Mm-hmm. I also do have a couple of other friends, Lime Fitz, who of course made the cameo during our Monopoly game. You might have been asleep. Yeah. You might not remember that. I think there was moments during that game where I was like, Juice, don't talk about that thing that you're talking about. And you're like, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. And I'm like, I need you to wake up this much more to understand that your topics are not acceptable. One was about like menstruating, and I was like, hey, get off that one. And you went even deeper, and I was like, it's getting weird now. You need to stop. The other one was with Lime Fitz, who's Irish. You were like, do you like potatoes?
Potatoes.
And I was like, Juice, I've told you that's not a funny ha-ha Irish like stereotype. That's like rooted in generational trauma. You can't ask him that. I was like, Juice, shut up.
Like, and he just goes, potatoes?
I do actually like potatoes.
Do you like potatoes? Yeah, I remember that.
So Lime Fitz is in a little bit. Of course, the friend that got me the code is in a little bit. So it's like, it could just be a fun little social experience.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely down. Sick. But I forgot I have something to tell you too. I have been playing a game.
Yes. Tell me about it. Which one?
I downloaded Digimon Time Stranger.
Sick.
And it is so good.
Okay.
So the demo is extremely true to the gameplay.
More of the same type of thing.
It's the same type of thing. There's still that same, like, you're still battling Digimon. You're still able to digivolve and de-digivolve and stuff. It has, like, a whole collecting aspect to it, so you can continue to, like, level up your Digimon and level up different aspects of them and, you know, get different Digimon and all this different stuff. There's some parts of it that I don't love, which I understand. I complained a lot about voice acting. And it has great voice acting.
Oh, okay, good.
My issue is it's extremely story heavy. So they will be moments where you're like, shut up. Like, it's there's a lot of story involved in it. So, like, I'm at the point where I'm like, the cutscenes, you're just like, where I'm just like, I don't care. But what's nice is I can skip through those. But here's the one thing I really want to tell you about this. So you know how in Pokemon you really got to grind? You got to grind to level up. You got to grind. What Digimon does in your grinding battles is it has a, don't make fun of me because I do use it, but I don't use it all the time, but I only use it for grinding, an auto function.
So you're not playing the game.
Listen, not only do you can put the speed up to a 5 where it just goes, but it auto chooses the battle.
Right.
So you basically, you're walking and you go, oh, I'll battle this guy. Ding. And then it just goes, bop, 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 and the battle's done super quick because they auto chose everything. And then you get your experience and you move on. For the big battles, like the big story battles, I do it myself and I like, you know, practice and all that stuff. But like those ones, baby, auto. The other day I had to go to the bathroom. I hit auto, went to the bathroom, came back. I came back and I went, ooh, I just did 2 battles because it just auto, like if a Digimon comes up to attack you, it goes bet. And it just like auto is just like a setting. You have to physically turn it off after, like not after every battle. It'll just keep auto on for all the battles until you physically turn off. So huge fucking fan of that. But, and I knew you were going to be like, you're not even playing the game. You're lazy.
Well, so what I was going to say is you don't want to sit through the cutscenes and you don't want to do the battles. What are you doing?
I do want to do the battles, but I want to do the fun, big battles. I don't want to do the, like, I fought the same Beedramon 8,000 times.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do the grindy battles over
and
over.
I think it's a good quality of life feature. I think there's needs to be more, and I've been having conversations. I'm sure I can say that. Having conversations within my own job as a community manager about player choice. Give people the tools to allow them to decide how they want to play the game. Put this feature in there. No one's forced to use it. You and many other people will clearly enjoy it. It alleviates a lot of frustration and difficulty. Fuck it. Go have fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's cool. And then, like, if I notice that the auto function isn't, you know, doing it a good job battling and I could do better, I turn off auto and I do it myself, you know?
Sick.
But, yep. But it is a very fun game. It's beautifully done. And the Digimon are all, like, so cool. I love being able to, like, it, you digivolve and you get to see like a Digimon that you used to watch on TV and you're like, oh my god, I want them on my team right now.
That's cool.
You know, so it is a very fun game. I do highly recommend it to anybody who is thinking about buying it.
Anyone that's frustrated with Pokemon, just get this Digimon game.
Yeah, if ZA was just the fucking pissed you off to no end, grab this one and you will feel so satisfied.
I played again last night and like, I think I'm closing in on the end, but I played for maybe 2 hours on stream yesterday and I swear to you an hour and a half of it was dialogue. And it was like, I'm so close to the end that it makes no sense that they're finally like your whole thing, Z to A is you're climbing to rank A. I got to rank A, but before I could, they were like, ooh, actually, here's a whole other villain arc and go deal with that in this secret lab. And then actually there's a whole other thing we're going to reveal over there. I'm like, where was this for the whole fucking game? Why are you just throwing this to me in the third act? It doesn't make any sense. It has real intense pacing issues. And I was the same. As soon as you were like, Digimon, I was like, come on, get. I was like, oh, yeah, I did that last night. Yeah. But I am hoping to be done with it soon. And I was talking about what game I want to play next. And Digimon's kind of in the mix. I'd be curious. I don't know if it's a home run. I do have a new game that I think maybe just came out or is about to come out that I'm like, oh, that might be a good stream game. But Digimon's definitely what I'm considering.
I would honestly, Digimon Time Stranger, I would give it a try, because if you're a collector, if you're somebody who loves to collect, it's fun, because it's not with the evolution line for Pokemon, it's so much different, because one Digimon can digivolve into 4 to 6 Digimon.
Yeah.
And then that creates an even bigger web, because then when you digivolve that one, it goes to 4 more and then 4 more. So it's just like, it just keeps going up, and you have agent ranks. So you've got to like rank up at your agent. So it's like, you can't digivolve past this because your agent rank is too low. So it's like, you got to keep like, even yourself, you've got to get yourself up to a higher rank and keep progressing the story to be able to get even cooler and stronger Digimon.
Yeah. I think you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Hit your elbow?
Hit my elbow. Yeah.
Yeah. I played I think it was the last Digimon game, although it feels like it was 10 years ago, called Cyber Sleuth. And yeah. I think it was very similar vibes. And I'll be honest, I just got distracted trying to digivolve as many of my Pokemon as I could. I wanted to see what they all look like. I wanted to see how cool they were. So and that's all I did for a very long time. And then I stopped.
It's basically literally what I'm doing right now. It's just like, I got my Angemon. I got Garurumon. I got Greymon. Like, I got all the like original ones that I was like, oh my God, I want the
cover
so
models.
Yeah, I just got a Kakumon, you know, I gotta get Togemon and Bergermon, and I'm set.
I gotta get Kabukimon. I gotta get.
I'm sure there is a Kabukimon. I want to get Anjawamon.
Yeah, of course, natural. I want that one. Send me pictures.
She's
oh my god.
I'm working my ass off on trying to get her. She's hard.
Yeah, I bet. She make you work for it.
Well, because she's not a champion. Gatomon is a champion. She Anjawamon is above that, so she's like an ultimate form.
Shit, bro.
So
before we get into the topic, on the topic of video games, the announcements, the nominees for the Game Awards this year came out.
Yes, we are nominated, and we're silly gooses
for the Game Awards.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the podcast awards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
oops.
Mm-hmm,
yes, the Game Awards. I did see that.
Who was the highest, the most nominees in Game Awards history?
No.
Next. Clair Obscur Expedition 33 got 12 nominations, the most of any singular game in Game Awards history. 12.
Fuck. Yes. Mm-hmm, was this the is this Canadian Game Awards or like the just the Game Awards?
The Game Awards. The big
Game Awards.
Show.
Who's what were the nominees for Games of the Year?
Game of the Year is, if I'm not mistaken, Death Stranding 2, Donkey Kong Bonanza, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, Hades 2, Hollow Knight Silk Song, and Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
It's Expedition 33.
I mean, here's what I could see happening is they also got nominated for 11 other categories, including like best indie debut, best action, like everything. I could see people voting to be like, all right, they got a lot. They don't need that one too. So
No, they can have them all. When is it, the Game Awards?
December 11th. It's a Thursday. If you would like to live react with me, Jukebox.
Oh my God. Guess who's available?
Thursday's
available.
A good day for you, I think.
Thursday is a good day for me.
We get into our Sunday best again, get a little dressed up. We go to the award show.
How long did we do it last year? Was it long?
It was long. It was like 3 hours, I think. Because we also, we got on like a half hour early, remember, and we did our predictions.
Yes.
Which I would love to do again if you're feeling up to it energy-wise. No, but I would know, do it. I think we got to a point where time-wise it was just late for you, where it was like 10 o'clock and you were like, oh my God.
No, I think it was like 11 o'clock. And yeah. I was like, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. But then the big award is it's the last one. You know what I mean? It's they save the best for last.
No, I think it was like, because after the big one, we kept talking and I was like, I would like to go to bed.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd like to go. I know that there's also a lot of game announcements, right? That's a big stage for those. So I think it could be a really, really fun thing if anyone's interested in joining us. It seems like we might be doing it. Game Awards, December 11th. Come and hang out.
No, I'm in.
We'll be co-streaming. I think that'll be cool.
I'm down. Yeah, sick. I'm down. Donkey Kong for Game of the Year. That's a weird choice. Anyways.
People like
okay.
It. Yeah.
Speaking of.
So we have a great topic for everybody, continuing our trend through November of discussing recasting movies with video game characters. Juice and I are going to be recasting Shaun of the Dead. But before we do that, of course, I want to let you all know about patreon.com/itdangerpod. If you're listening, maybe this is your first time, maybe this is your 100th time, and you're like, hey, I really want to support these cuties. I want them to be able to do what they want to do. I want to pay for Juice's World of Warcraft subscription monthly. You can head on over to patreon.com/itdangerpod, where you would not only support us financially, but also find access to a myriad of additional content options, including but not limited to full video episodes of each and every one of these podcasts. So you can see our cute little faces. You can get those podcast episodes one day before the rest of the world. You can go and search for cameo style videos from Juice and myself each month. And you can go the extra mile. You can become a Patreon producer and get your name read out in our eternal gratitude on each and every episode. Of course, you could be cool like BT Dubs, Kyle Be Back, and John, aka The Bull. Thank you to each and every one of you for keeping the lights and mics on. Now, Fairly Gamers, if you have no loons or tunes to spare, don't worry. Stick around to the end of the show where we will tell you how you can support us for free. Juice, we're into it. Last week, of course, we reviewed recast The Devil Wears Prada. Prior to that, we were in on Wicked. And I said to you, hey, I'm going to find you the most heterosexual game movie ever. And you said, bet. And then I didn't really do that. And instead, I just picked my favorite movie. And you went, joke's on you. I've seen this one. And I went, okay. Question mark?
I thought you meant like, because I'm going to take something super straight. You're not going to know it. So I was just like, joke's on you. I've seen
this one. I was like, so here's what actually happened. You said, I have seen this one. And I went in my head. I didn't say it out loud. I went, great. You have no excuse for bad answers now. And then I know that you sat down 5 minutes before and you did your homework in front of the teacher again. But
my answers were rock.
So today we're going to be recasting the Shaun of the Dead using video game characters. Juice. The characters that we're diving into today, Sean, titular, Ed, best friend, Liz, love interest, Diane, friend of Liz, the love interest, David, dating Diane, also friends to Liz, secretly in love with her, and Barbara, Sean's mother. The whole squad goes on a zombie-infested adventure in the beloved comedy directed by Edgar Wright, my favorite director of all time. And the whole movie culminates in a final one last stand at Winchester Pub. And these are the six that we can find hunkered down inside of those walls, hoping to endure a zombie onslaught. Where would you like to get started in our list of six?
Start at the bottom.
We'll start at the bottom. We got Barbara. Barbara, I'm going to read you what the wiki says. It's probably going to be bad, though. Barbara, of course, Sean's mother. It looks to be a woman in her 50s or 60s, and she lives in an upper middle class neighborhood in London. She's married to Philip. That's Sean's stepdad. And they've been together for 17 years. Her first husband died and she remarried when Sean was 12. The tie between Sean and his mother is very strong, and she lovingly refers to him as Pickle. Unfortunately, due to the tension between Sean and Philip, his stepdad, her son visits only twice a month. She is lovely. She is a little bit spacey. She's an older woman. She's a typical lovable mom. She doesn't take any of Sean's shit when he complains about his stepdad. She lays down the law and she wants what's best for her son, Pickle, aka Sean. Now, what video game character would you love to cast as Barbara from Shaun of the Dead?
So I chose protective, kind of rough around the edges, which I thought was going to be more her vibe, because I don't really remember. But Aerith's mom from Final Fantasy VII, Claudia Strife.
Okay, well, can you tell me about Claudia Strife?
From what I've played from Final Fantasy VII,
how much of Final Fantasy? You played through the whole remake, didn't you?
Almost the whole thing of part one. I haven't finished. I think I'm half a chapter away from finishing. But she was very, very protective, very concerned, very mama bear to Aerith, but also very welcoming to everybody inside of her lovely, sweet little home. Very mom character, you know? Barbara sounded like a very mom character. Sure. So that's why I was just like, I feel like this would actually work.
Okay. Okay. Noted. I wrote it down.
Crushed it. Not a bad one, right?
Not a bad one. My favorite was when you started, I said, who did you pick? And you went, so. And I was like, are you about to try to explain to me why this is a good pick before you even told me? That was fine.
The rest of mine, very much yes. That vibe, but this one, great.
We'll see what happens when you're not the one to be able to describe the characters to completely align with your picks. We'll see how that sounds. The next one, Juice, I think you're going to be a big fan of here. Of course, Barbara, the mother, the caretaker, the watcher over. I picked one that I might actually need your help in pronunciation here. This, of course, is a character from Kingdom Hearts, Birth by Sleep. Kairi? K-A-I-R-I?
Kairi?
Kairi's grandmother.
Girl.
Crushed it. Kairi's grandmother is an elderly woman who resides in the wherever. It is shown that she had a very close relationship with their child. She is seen to encounter Aqua, the Keyblade warrior, having previously rescued her granddaughter, right? She's willing to get in there and mix it up to take care. She's there with the whole squad, I think. A lovely lady. She seems to permanently be wearing an apron. She's got real grandmotherly vibes. I think it's a good pick.
Oh my gosh, she's in Birth by Sleep. She's
everyone's favorite Kingdom Hearts game.
I don't think I've played this one.
Are you a fake Kingdom Hearts fan? Or
I think I must be.
Is Kingdom Hearts so needlessly convoluted that even their biggest fans don't even know 50% of the characters?
Jesus Christ.
I don't think it's about you. I think it's a statement about I think it's a problem with the series.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Do you feel strongly about this one? Who you think?
She's a grandma, not a mom.
Yeah, but to be fair, 50, 60 is the age region, which is grandmotherly anyways. Age range.
I guess, what? Yeah. You pick.
I don't care enough, honestly. I don't know your character.
Claudia.
Are you locking in your own pick on this one so that, because you know that the next ones are going to be real bad for you, or... Okay. There was a delicate nod and a cheeky smile, everybody. Claudia was from which? Final Fantasy
VII?
Okay.
Yeah.
Next up on our list, we, of course, have David. David from Shaun of the Dead. David Fastidius is a man. This is so... Why are you giving me these explanations here? This wiki's bad. David is a bit posh and not so subtly in love with Liz. Because of this, he often clashes with Sean, who happens to be Liz's boyfriend. The first couple of times that we see David, he's looking at Liz and Sean having discussions about their relationship. David, of course, cannot resist making a comment here or there about how Sean needs to spend more time with her. So over the course of the story, David is a constant need... What? Did you not pay attention to any of these details? Why are you holding your mouth?
No, because I read, I listened to the details and I listened to your description, but I never Googled what the character looked like. And then I just looked at what he looks like, and now my answer is so bad.
He looks unpopular 20-something-year-old Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah, skinny, gawky, tall, glasses, kind of a bad dark hair haircut, And he's a bit of a prick the entire movie. He's the one just looking for the opportunity for cheap shots. Like you and I do, but not in a cute way. You know what I mean?
Just wait till you hear mine.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm glad. I asked you yesterday. Well, to be fair to you, I said yesterday, hey, would it be helpful if I tell you the movie now so you can do homework ahead of time?
Which you said yes.
And then I didn't.
Yeah.
But be honest, if I sent it to you yesterday, would you have done it before
the
bell?
Yes, I had the full afternoon off yesterday. I would have done it.
I'm going to write that down in my notes that I will fix that for next time.
Okay, great.
So David is annoying. He, in the end, puts everyone else's life in peril. He also, spoiler alert for the best movie ever made, but it's old, tries to kill Sean.
Does he get eaten by a bunch of zombies?
Because he does. Like... He gets eaten and torn apart by a horde of zombies. In the process, then allowing all the zombies into the Winchester to attack everybody else.
Great.
It's his fault. Who'd you pick for David from Shaun of the Dead?
So I heard like jealous, kind of conniving, not the nicest. So I pictured like a big meathead. So I put Machoke from Pokemon.
Do you want to do any like mental gymnastics to try to make it make more sense? Or is that just how we're going to leave that one?
I just kind of thought like he was like the big muscly jealous guy who was like in love with the girl and like, why wouldn't she love me? I look like this, you know, like that's kind of where my mind went. And then when I Googled what he looked like, I went, oh
yeah,
no. I fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said Machoke.
You've seen
from
this
Pokemon.
Movie. Remember when
I
you
have,
said,
but it's so long ago.
That, sucker.
Yeah, I think I don't remember it that well.
Yeah,
so who'd you say?
I gender bended this one because I went the route of being the most annoying possible character to bring along in your party who puts everyone's life in jeopardy repeatedly due to their selfish and annoying behavior. So naturally, and everyone say it with me here, Ashley
Donald Duck.
From Resident Evil 4. Ashley Graham. Just needling voice in your ear constantly. You have to go out of your way to save them, even though you don't fucking want to. And at the end of the day, constantly putting your life in peril.
I think mine might be better.
I don't think it could be. Your actor can say one word.
Mahjong.
Oh, fuck. Okay, that's David. Next up on our list is Diane. Now, Diane is friend to Liz, the love interest in this story, and is dating David. Diane is an actress. She is kooky. She is quirky. She is bubbly. She is energetic. She's excited to help people. She's a little aloof, isn't always aware fully of all of the situation around her and the dangers presenting everybody. But she does come in to kind of nearly save the day in a particularly clutch moment. So, Juice, who did you pick for Diane?
I was thinking girly, a little bit aloof, slightly ditzy, but fun and heroic at times.
Good.
Birdo from Super Mario Brothers. Is that bad?
You keep picking mute fucking characters.
She talks ish.
What lines? Give me one famous Birdo line.
Wow, wow.
Oh man. Okay. Well, anything you want to say about this pick?
I think that it's great.
Sure. I went the route of looking for a performer, someone who's elegant and helpful, dedicated, willing to be in the mix, get into combat, do what needs
Birdo.
To be done to help present the story. I picked Birdo as well.
Did you?
No! Because it's a dumb pick! It's funny, though. It's really
it's funny
for me to pick. I imagine this is what you've been like for the last 2 months, having like this beloved film that you're like picturing all of these characters in the different spots, and it's really enjoyable. I'm having a very good time. I picked this one. You'll have to Google Primrose Azelheart from Octopath.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Everdeen.
I don't know who that is. Thank you for muting while keyboarding. That was very thoughtful of you. You beautiful, delicate soul. Primrose Azelheart is from Octopath. Now, the true game is pixel art, but there is like character art. She is a dancer. She goes off on this adventure with her friends.
Is this that same game with the giant titty girl?
No. No, it is not. This is just an artistic rendering that I know you're looking at of the character, because again, it is very pixel art. It is it's the HD 2D style game. But again, like her motivations, her choices, her willingness to be with the squad and try to help, her artistic nature and instincts is why I picked Primrose Azelheart.
Primrose Everdeen. Okay, cool. I like that. That's better.
You think that one not Birdo?
Unfortunately. My next one's good.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Your next one being Liz. Mm. I'm glad yours is good, because I'll be honest, not a big fan of mine. Liz, of course, I keep referring to as the love interest. I think that's disingenuous and that's a disservice to this character, who is relatively well fleshed out and does not deserve to purely be represented by her relationship to the man in the story. However, Liz and Sean have been dating for years. She is very clearly unhappy with the relationship and how unwilling Sean is to change, to grow up, and to listen to her expressing her needs and do something about it. Liz is headstrong and driven. She's independent. She sets boundaries. She communicates them well. She throws down. She's in the mix and making big plays when the zombies do indeed strike. Juice Box, who did you pick to play Liz from Shaun of the Dead?
Independent. Okay. Ready to throw down.
Loving
it. Strong.
Yeah.
Good boundaries. British.
Okay, yeah.
Lara Croft.
Honestly?
Not bad.
Not bad. Not your bad. Worst.
Not bad.
Not your worst. Not even your worst today.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Lara Croft. Extra points for British. Extra points British. For British. I got stuck on something. Obviously, a lot of the character traits being, you know, driven, headstrong, being able to take on the zombie apocalypse. But I got stuck on a blonde character for some reason. I don't know why I went down that route. I did, though. Mm-hmm. That's where I got stuck in. And I picked Juliet Starling from Lollipop Chainsaw, the lead character.
Pigtail girl?
The pigtail girl. She's fucking up zombies left, right, and center. She's breaking hearts along the way. Juliet Starling was my pick. Now, I feel like it's a little phoned in. You know what I mean? I picked a blonde girl who fights zombies and was like, yeah, let's do it.
I was like, that feels a little.
You know what I mean? It feels like it's a little on the nose, whereas I think I would like to reward your creativity for doing more than just like has lots of outfits. Not
Eternity.
This time. Crushed it.
Eternity. My manager, Tommy, plays Infinity Nikki and called me and said, Infinity Nikki. First thing I went, hello, Infinity Nikki, idiot. I was like, fuck.
Okay. Ed. So I'll give you Lara Croft.
Thank you.
Ed is the best friend to Sean, played by Nick Frost. He is derpy, dopey. He is all of the worst traits of Sean with none of the positive ones. He drops an N-bomb at some point. It didn't age well.
Oh, my God.
But I've seen interviews where they're like, yeah, this was to put on display how kind of reprehensible this character is. He's not like a great dude. He and Sean have known each other for years. It's one of those relationships that like you met in primary school, and you just remained friends. If you met in this day and age, would you still be friends? It's one of those, right? He's a slob. He's lazy. He's uninspired. He constantly gets Sean into trouble. There's multiple whole scenes about how Ed is always holding Sean back and Sean is always making excuses for him. Juicebox, who did you pick to play Ed from Shaun of the Dead?
Mm-hmm. So when I think large, lazy man.
Sure.
My head immediately goes to Navi from The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, the little fairy. Hey, listen. So that's where my mind went. As you described it more, I went, maybe not. Maybe not. Here we are in this moment, and that's what I picked. And now I'm thinking, how camp? How camp and funny?
Sure. So you're on board. You're feeling.
I stand by it.
You did a full circle where you were like, good pick, maybe not a good pick, and now you're back to good pick. Great pick. I obviously stuck in on the morally reprehensible character who you are cheering for regardless. Someone that, despite at every turn making the worst choice of any human, you still enjoy your time with them in video games. I picked Trevor Phillips from Grand Theft Auto 5.
Mm.
He's also Canadian, so that's fun. I mean, Commonwealth.
I know him.
Do you know? Oh, he's Googling. He muted his mic. This is the one time where you typing would have been beneficial to me, but you muted your mic. Trevor Phillips, of course, a career criminal and former bank robber with a complicated past who later founded his own company, Trevor Phillips Enterprises, operating with drug dealing and weapon smuggling in Blaine County. So
I think you might have gotten that one.
I think I got that one. I will say that I did consider Navi for the role of David as the constantly needling, needlessly frustrating, just want to claw your eyes out at their presence character. So,
hey, listen.
Very good. There's a reason that that's your line introing the show. Got him. All right. The piece de resistance, of course, the titular character, Sean from Shaun of the Dead. How did I describe him to you? Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. So in my quick blurb for Juice, I said, Sean is uninspired and unreliable. He then wants to change and protect the people he loves. He steps into a leader role when the apocalypse happens and really rises to the challenge. He's constantly criticized for not being willing to change his ways in any potential way, and just does the same thing day in and day out and won't grow up. He is a flawed character who, when the chips are down, steps up and takes care of everyone around him, no matter how easy or how difficult it was. Juice, who did you pick to play Shauna from Shaun of the Dead?
It's good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. From Kingdom Hearts.
You said it was good?
Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 fame. The king of, I think, stepping up. Goofy.
I'm Googling. Like, I won't know this character. You just picked fucking Goofy from anything. Oh, my. Okay. Juice, I am excited. I am thrilled to hear your rationale about why Goofy would make a great Sean from Shaun of the Dead.
Because, like, how fun would it be to watch, like, a movie with Goofy as the lead playing with Birdo and Machoke and Lara Croft? Imagine Goofy pounding out Lara Croft. Work the world, babe.
So you were running out of steam when you went in reverse order, and this was the last.
You know what's crazy? I started with this one. This was my first.
This was the peak. This is where
this
you
is
went.
The peak. I said. Wow. I said, Sean, Goofy. Yeah. Then I was like, psh, I'm great. And then I just was on a roll for the rest of it. I think that just Goofy would just be a really good lead character. I think he was just like a Goofy movie.
In all of his movies.
He's in a Goofy movie and that's it. We never got. Yeah, but he's never the lead. You've seen a Goofy movie? It's genius.
Yeah,
it's just fabulous.
There's a whole documentary about the making of it. Yeah.
Eye to Eye, an absolutely incredible film or song.
You're trying to convince me. I'm on your side.
I just think that he deserves more shots of him with zombies. But that's just me. You?
An obvious one that I think that you missed here. A relatively unlikable character who we are going to cheer for the entire time. Protects everybody through a zombie apocalypse. Your leading man
is also a ginger
and strong. He's not. He's strawberry blonde at best. He's not a dog.
Who is it?
You're going to come after me about hair color. You picked a dog. You picked a fucking anthropomorphized dog. My pick that I think you missed was Joel from The Last of Us.
Ooh.
The leading man. The one you want to cheer for through all the ups and downs, his failures, his trials and tribulations, and you still back him to the end. Character growth, he is softened by the party around him. His emotional tie to them is what allows him to break through those barriers and become a better person.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
No worries. I think Goofy was a great answer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And there we have it. We have officially recast Shaun of the Dead. Playing Barbara is Claudia from Final Fantasy VII. Tough one for me. Don't know what she looks like. But playing David is Ashley, just the needle, the thorn in your side. Diane is played by Primrose Azelheart. Liz, played by Lara Croft. That's a solid pick. Ed is Trevor Phillips from Grand Theft Auto V. And Sean himself, played by Joel from The Last of Us. I would watch the shit out of that movie. And Birdo will find an opportunity for Birdo to play Birdo's a supporting role. I would be beside myself. Just any scene. Any scene. You replace any zombie in any movie ever in history with Birdo playing a zombie?
Terrifying.
That's the best movie.
That's horrifying.
10 out of 10.
That giant mouth.
It's the only thing that could make Shaun of the Dead a better movie. It's already a 10 out of 10. That's the only thing that could make it an 11.
She shoots out rotten zombie eggs that when they explode on you, you get infected.
And great movie.
Yeah.
So we did it.
We did it. Good job.
You too.
Baby. Daddy.
It's times like this where I feel like I made a bad choice in giving you the power to end the episode, because it means that you need to decide to end it. And I'm just kind of held hostage as you make all of these weird fucking sounds instead.
And it's time like this that I want to let you guys know that it is the end of the episode. And thank you guys so much for joining us for another week of It's Dangerous to Go Alone. And if you guys want to support us additionally on top of the Patreon, you can join us on our Instagram at @itdangerpod, where Jackson is always editing and putting out some very fun and cool clips. So give those a like and a comment and support us in any way, because we just posted one where Jackson slaps me and we are getting shadow banned because it was violence, but it was funny. But I noticed the views went meow on that one, and I went, oh, I know what happened. Anyways, but give us a like and a follow there. Just give us a little bit of support. Also, if you want to give us a like and a follow anywhere where you listen to podcasts, it'll help boost us up in the algorithm so more people can hear our sweet little voices. Join us next week where Jackson is going to get us to recreate or recast the straightest movie he can think about. Mm-hmm. And he will actually tell me what it is ahead of time so I can prepare myself.
Gladiator. Right?
Hot.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
Love you. Bye.